Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
Listening live on Soho Radio, you're welcome to the Funny Mummies for the Weather Woman Show on Soho Radio. You can tell I'm rusty. So, hello, how are you? Well, this is a weird one for those that listen chronologically. Sorry, I'm a bit late with this episode, slash missed last month, if listening live on Soho Roadie. Roadie, what is wrong with me? I only had a sip of red wine. I was ill. Nothing big, just the killer virus, but we'll get to more of that later. So to keep it simple, I shall address in present day and not get bogged down in my dream that these will be found in time capsules in the future and help people learn about what life was like when we had COVID-19 corona pandemic, or as I like to call it, the time all the schools were closed. So yeah, if you want to know more about that, go and Google or whatever the future search thing is. Maybe because of the pandemic, everyone's just back in the libraries and we don't have the internet. Anyway, we're here to tell you it's not all about making magical memories, spending quality family time and making banana bread and bloody Joe Wicks, although I do love him. It is for most a bloody slog, a mental head fuck, but sometimes, you know, you have a Zoom chat with some mates and you laugh when someone gets a tit out and, you know, okay, no one laughed, but the real heroes are the medical profession, key workers and single mums. And that brings me to my panel and topic today. So you can probably guess she's a regular to the show who needs no introduction, but if I don't, that would be weird. Just before lockdown, she moved into a brand new home with her son. It needed some work done, so she's now a part-time stripper. He's the Woody to my Buzz, the Dick to my Dom, the Kurt Russell to my Elizabeth Taylor. She can't wait for the street parties to start. It's Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
I hope I haven't ruined one of your jokes or something, Gemma. But
you haven't, no, but I'm going to might steal some of those.
Okay, steal some of them. And it's her first time ever on the show. Guest today is comedy actress who you know will know from many roles as Laura in Him and Her, Witless, Young Hyacinth. Oh, I loved her in that. Most recently in Dawn French's new comedy, The Trouble with Maggie Cole. But of course, her biggest role.
It came out.
No, wait. Her biggest role to date was the very funny, lovable, sometimes desperate Marilyn in that underground hit sitcom, Give That Girls. Yes. Written by Hattie Ashdown. Don't laugh too hard.
Cult classic.
It's actress and funny mum of two, Kerry Howard.
Hello.
Hello, girls. For the sake of the listeners, we're doing this on Zoom. So we're going to see how it goes and how much Zoom gives us. But it's totally natural. I wish I was in Soho recording it. I really do. And I hope you're all doing well, local Soho listeners. So how are we doing?
I've just got to say, it's so weird. Gemma, You've just moved into your own house. I've just moved into my brand new house as well.
Oh my God. You see, this is a movement. It's a bloody revolution.
It's crazy. Like, I had the weekend with the boys. I got them back. My youngest had a cough. I self-isolated a week before lockdown. Who knew that was going to be? I'm on week 8. And literally, like, taps have fallen off, like this, you know, you're like, I've got no one in, it's just me.
But you've got YouTube, Kerry. You've got YouTube, you've got blogs, because there is not a shortage of of men on the internet that want to fucking tell you how to plaster a bloody wall, mate. I tell you.
I tell you, all I need to do with that tap is swear at it. And once I swore at it a couple of times, it got right back on. So it was absolutely fine. I called it a fucking cunt and it was done.
So well, that's quite because I've been saying to Gemma, actually, this was being lockdown. Oh, I can't speak. Lockdown has been quite good timing in terms of doing the house up. And so it's been similar for you, Kerry. And I should say, because we don't really talk about it a lot, but Gemma is also a single mum. Gemma's been on a lot of these podcasts, and we just don't chat about it, do we, Gemma, really? But
so it kind of sort of tracked the breakdown of my marriage, really, isn't it?
I think it's because you didn't really want to talk about it before, because it was sort of, yeah, a bit...
I was in the middle of it, yeah.
Sure. In the middle of it.
It's raw. It always is. A breakdown is. And it's usually with kids, it's not a pretty picture. So it's hard to talk about it because you want to have dignity and try and keep it amicable. But then
it's true. And I think so. I never really knew on any one day how I felt actually, full stop. And it's still the same now, really. It's still relatively, early, sort of 18 months, I suppose, since the marriage ended.
You're running, and so you don't have the time to process it because you're still a mum, and you've got more of a weight on you because I'm taking that you're the primary carer.
Sure.
So, like, who has time to have an hour therapy to process the breakdown of your marriage?
Yeah.
No, not have the time.
No.
And Kerry, are you about 18? Are you a little bit longer than 18 months?
Weirdly, it's a weird anniversary. I realised today was the anniversary of my wedding.
Oh, gosh.
But it was 2 years ago on the 27th of April, so I've just passed that I decided to leave my husband for the third time.
Really? Wow.
Third and final time. So, yeah.
2 years. Wow. And you're in a lovely new house. And so let's start with, how's your lockdown going? So you've moved into this house quite newly to lockdown, and this is your own house, am I right? And this is the fresh start.
Yeah. I mean, it's my own, I've never owned anything by myself, ever. I've not even rented. So this is the first time that I've actually had ownership of something. And it's quite terrifying, but I think the lockdown's been brilliant in the fact that it's had to liberate me to not lean on people that I would normally lean on. And I've had to sort of like woman up and actually just like get shit done. And I've thrown myself into the house. Like, this is the first week that I've just gone, chill the fuck out. The walls are fine. You've done enough. Like, it's okay.
And I'm looking at your both newly painted walls, actually, because Gemma's painted her lime green kitchen and you've got your lovely navy blue wall.
Yeah.
We're doing all right. So, generally, I'm always nosy to people's... both of you give me a rough kind of lockdown life routine now. You know, what is your day like?
So I'm getting up later than I usually would, I'll admit, because I mean I've still got a day job to do, but because I've got no school run and no commute to do, I'm lying in bed for a little bit longer than I usually would in the morning. I'm trying to, I suppose, put the laptop on, pretending to do a lot of work, I suppose. But I put Alistair in front of the telly a lot of the time, I'll be honest with you. I said to Kerry before, and I try and do about 20 minutes to half an hour of phonics a day. And by the
very
way,
good.
I to be honest with you, I didn't know what a fucking phonic was
before
this lockdown. And now I know what a diagraph is. I don't know how I learned to read without knowing what a diagraph was.
I know, a split diagraph. My son goes on about split diagraphs. As soon as he starts talking about them, I just want to cry because I'm just dyslexic.
Yeah. I hear you. Kerry, are you trying to do? Are you ringing the bell like school time in the morning, or are you just kind of?
I've got early risers. Like, I'm trying to train them, so they get up at like 5:30.
Shut up!
I've managed to kind of get them to like a quarter to six, a six. I try on a good day. It's 6:45. I'm like, brilliant. I've slept.
Bless you.
And then it's like, I put the TV on, Polar Express, anything their favourite. And for about half an hour, I'm having a coffee shaking in the corner, just like, don't talk to mummy right now. but we've been doing a lot of crafting with cardboard because I have a lot of excess cardboard. But now Wesley thinks this is my oldest, he's 6-year-old. He thinks it's a thing that mummy does every day. And every day he loves it. He's like, what are we going to make today? When he says we, it's me. Yeah. I'm making all these fucking things. And I sort of start off all jolly about it. And then after a while, it's just like, no, mummy doesn't want to make a life-size cardboard plane today. I just don't want to do it.
I know.
I've like lost the joy de vivre to like create cardboard shit. Because it is.
Are you crafty though? Are you a craft?
Yeah,
craft
are you a crafty person?
I'm a quick crafty person, which means I make shit.
Okay.
I don't have the patience. No. I can do 20 minutes and then I'm like, if it's not finished by then,
yeah,
I'll put it in the bin.
But that's it. I thought I was a crafty person because I was like, oh, I remember when I was a student, I used to like make everyone cards and like. You can imagine.
Made everyone cards. Like, fun time, happy.
I was that person. Right. I was smoking a lot of weed and I thought it was a good idea to go to the haberdashery and make people those fucking cards. Stuff hanging off it and glitter.
What did you need to say to your friends that you saw every day that you needed to like make a card full of glitter? Like what was it? Precious advice.
I remember one doll. I saw this doll and it was like a tiny little doll, what I used to call Pippa D doll. I don't know if any of you remember them. And I thought, oh, it really looks like my friend Nikki. So I got it and I put it on a card, like a Cindy doll box. I can't believe I'm telling you this. And I just sort of was like, yeah, I just went mad, decorated. It wasn't even that close a friend. I think I was just trying to get out of doing my degree, really.
Education.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought I was into craft, but yeah, doing it with the kids is just different because you just want to do it, don't you? Well, that's what I find.
They don't stay in the lines. And like, and then they've got scissors, so you're like, well, they're going to kill themselves. And so you just like, you find yourself like taking over and then you resent that you're taking over because you're like, they should be doing the crafting. And then they're bored.
I know. And I should say, for listeners who haven't worked it out, we've actually all got boys. And yeah. I hate to say it, but I mean, they are just at this age. I think we're all in a similar sort of age. Mine's 4 and a half oldest. You know, it's just he's now into sort of Play-Doh-y craft, or stuff with sticks and stuff. But yeah, still not painting or drawing or anything that takes too long.
They're not sit down people. No. They are running around the house like mad or trying to kill each other, or it's just they're not the right personality to be locked in. Like that's, I feel like girls, I see a lot of my mum.
Are we still talking about our children or?
Yes. But like people who have girls and I can see all their little pictures. My Instagram isn't necessarily a truthful representation of family life, but it seems like the girls are producing a lot of amazing, beautiful work. And you just think,
Yeah. They are, and they're the ones with little watering cans who are outside. Oh, I just found some seeds. I'm just going to plant them. Mm. Whereas my son is watching YouTube and mainly American kids on YouTube. So he gets off the TV and he talks like this at me, Mum, when's dinner? And I don't know what I've spawned.
Yeah,
and it's just like weird hybrid American computer game geek surfer dude that I don't have anything in common with.
Unless you start like unwrapping toys, then he.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's
the only way. Yeah, Hux is the same. He says can't. He says I can't. But I know Alistair, Gemma's little boy, and he's very bright. You'll be fine. Be fine.
He said. I said to him today. I put him in the bath, and I said, every so often I do this, and it's more fishing for compliments, really. And I said, "What would make me a better what would make me a better mum?" I say to him, you know, just some tips. And now it's just like, if you bought me a PlayStation, I said, anyone can buy you a PlayStation. Doesn't necessarily make them a good mum, does it?
So. Wesley started patting me like a horse.
Where?
Oh my God. He was obviously sensing that I'm tired.
He
just gives me a little pat. But then he also talks like he's a Kantian child. He's like, I suppose I would like some Weetos for today. And I don't know where he gets it from. It's like so, like most of the country. So, like, what are you?
So all the children are going to be fine after lockdown. They're not affected at all. So I'm going to... Let's just get into it. So, I can't really say, how are you finding lockdown as a single parent? Because obviously you've never done lockdown before and you've never been single parents.
I'm going to go straight for the positive, actually, and say that I am massively grateful for the timing of this, because this could have happened when I wasn't a single parent and I could be in the house in an unhappy relationship, right?
Yeah.
And not a very pleasant mum to be. So I'm gonna go for the positive and say, do you know what, I can do what the fuck I like, yeah, when I like in this house. I've got no one to, you know, apart from the kid, I haven't got another human to have to tidy up after or
yeah, or negotiating parents,
negotiating exactly,
and those kind of like constant arguments over nothing, and in this kind of situation that would be debilitating. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I hear you there. It's freedom to do whatever the fuck you like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in charge, Kerry. Right? You do. I mean, I'm in charge. There's no negotiation. There's no, well, hey, you know, why don't you do this and I'll do this and how about this? It's like, no, I'm going to go and watch the telly. I'll go and watch the telly. You know what I mean? I want to go to bed. I'll go to bed. It's great. I thoroughly recommend it.
I mean. I have lost my husband's bank card today, so anything could happen. So,
how did you lose his bank card?
Oh, you don't. I'm not used to going out, and I went to the chip shop. We've got one chip shop open, and I've got a little hatch that you can, you know, order it for. And I don't remember. I just went out. I was so excited about going to the chip shop. I didn't grab any purse. I just grabbed his card and ran to the chip shop, and then I came back. And we can't find it. I was like, I can't have put it down anywhere because I'm not touching or putting it. So it's somewhere in the house or something. But
because I had to withhold my children because my ex decided to move in with his parents who are over 70. So clearly I couldn't let them go to him every other weekend. And then it took him.
I was going to ask that. For people that don't know, that because I didn't really know. The rules on what the government has set out for seeing the other half. What, Jemmy?
The rules are, like, if you feel that the children or that if the partner is living with someone who is vulnerable, then you're allowed to withhold.
Okay.
And court orders don't apply during this time. But the guidelines are for the children's mental health to keep contact going. So us co-parenters can be pretty more fluid, which I kind of think is pretty hypocritical, and it's not really helping the virus. So it's like one rule for you lot, one rule for us. But anyway, so he then 6 weeks later finally got his own place so the kids could go there, and I could feel that if his parents get sick, well, it's not my fault kind of thing. I just wanted to make sure my hands are clean. And also do the right thing by the government. Like, it just didn't feel right. I've been living with my parents for 2.5 years. So the boys have been seeing my mum and dad for 2.5 years. Then I move within a weekend, boom, they don't see, and they've not seen them. They've not, like, they've seen through the window, but like they were used to having hugs and, you know, all of that. And I'm not breaking the rules. Like, just going back, oh, it's fine. They're not, you know, cause like, you got to fucking follow the rules. Rules is rules. I'm like one of those. But, so now he is having them every other weekend. And when they come home, like, we wash our hands. Like, my mum was like, you've got to put them in the bath and you've got to wash their clothes. Because my, I've got a lot of family who are nurses, and they were all like, that's what you've got to do. When we go home, we strip down, run to the bathroom, and everything gets washed. And she's like, you have to, if you have people going from a different household to a different household, you have to treat it like that. And I was just like, oh my God, that's going to be so brutal to have the children for the
first time. For them, yeah.
Now, and they're like, we've already had a bath. So I just turned it into a big game, and it's like, we're swimming. And it was just a bit mental. But for the sake of like anxiety, it's so weird. It's so weird. Like I went to the co-op for the first time on my own because it was my weekend for the first time. And I had an anxiety attack in the co-op because people weren't following the social distancing. And I'm just like, I'm obviously an actress. I like being told what to do.
Yeah.
Like, so I like rules. And yeah. Everyone's just like, this guy walked past and he didn't have a shirt on. He was like slightly drunk. And this girl was going against the arrows. Going against the arrows in the co-op, and I was just like a crazy person, going back, and then the staff was behind me, and I was just like, everyone's coming. And I literally, I came out of that place. I had sweat. Well, I have not had sweat for the last 2 years. My ass was dripping. Like, it was awful. I'm still not over it, and that was 10 days ago.
I had a to do. Did I tell you about the to do in Lidl?
I don't think you did.
There was an episode in Lidl a couple of weekends ago.
Came towards you.
Did you have an argument?
I did. Yeah.
I won't bloody mess with you, Gemma. Come on.
Well, I would. It was one of these where so there was four checkouts open and two queues. So like at the post office, you know, so one queue and you just whatever till comes free. You know, so it's, I think it's a good system. You know, but no one was supervising it. So this guy, then I'd see from the side a guy starting a new queue. So I said, I just said, the guy's obviously thinks that it's okay, you know, that he's next, whatever. And I said, oh, actually, I think there's the one queue here. And he went, oh, you think, do you?
I said, don't get shitty.
Nice. He said, but you think, so you could be wrong. I said, yes, I suppose I'd be wrong. I said, but even then, you'd still be a cunt. And he said, oh, you shouldn't have said that. And that was the end of it, actually. And I was just doing my shopping, thinking, please just let me get out of this shop before he does. I was like, trying to hurry up, and I was shaking with anxiety. With adrenaline.
Wow.
But I don't think that would usually happen during normal times, but this man did not like to be told by a woman that he was breaking the queuing rules.
I really think it's an interesting phenomenon, really, because, you know, there's a lot of self-entitled male personalities in the world, and they've never been used to being told what to do. We have. So women have for centuries have been told what to do, and we've followed the rules.
Yes, true.
It's going, fuck you, I'll do what I want.
But here's something.
We are a compliant breed. Now this is happening. The government is basically turned the UK into a fascist state. What we have to listen to them, and we have to do exactly what they're telling us to save people's lives.
Mm.
Men don't like it because they make the rules.
It's got to be said, actually, all these conspiracy theorists, they are men, aren't they?
Yes.
The ones saying, oh, they're trying to get us to stay in. It's all men. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So then they sort of like gaslight and make up these stupid theories about, oh, everyone's trying to control us with these apps. It's like, no, no one gives a fuck about you. We give a fuck about the collective humanity.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? Because when that happened, right, it then stayed with me all day. Because I was just like, do you know what? I shouldn't have dropped the C-bomb, right? You know, that was, I came down to his level. I shouldn't
have. Were you on your own?
Yeah, I was on my own, mate. Right. Hell yeah.
You didn't have your child with you.
No, I didn't know. But it was just like, well, what is the right thing to do in that situation? Because I could have, so the options are, I could have just been all like British and just been like, oh, I'll just tut underneath my breath and let him push in, whatever. I didn't think at any point he was going to push in, but what is the right thing to do?
I mean,
question.
Like, I'm like you. I go Basil Fawlty because I look to the staff and the staff do fuck all. Mm. And it's just like, I seek someone to like put down justice.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's unjust. You were
it's unjust, exactly.
And you fucking pushed in. And that's like not fair on so many levels.
It was unjust and unfair.
I think you two, this is literally such a great example because this is literally something that, you know, you two are going for a very powerful moment. And I'm not saying that I'm not a powerful woman as well, but it's like you're
power. We've had it. So yeah. Any tiny little thing like a cue pusher, it's like, fuck you and my marriage.
Like, that's where it is, isn't it?
But you've got this like power. Like, I remember feeling it when I was pregnant, actually. Some stages I just cry all the time, but other times I felt really invincible and like, I could tell anyone to, you know, they'll come in a queue. But and probably similar when my mum died, actually. Some of the things you're saying, weird enough, reminds it's a, you know, it's a grief, and you know, you just those, yeah. So it's whether or you feel the power. But I would say, Gemma, you totally were right to say something. I would always say something. There's different stages of Hattie. I either would like just end up mumbling something really badly, yeah, or just sort of like shout something a bit, or go full pelt like you did. So I definitely would have said something.
Because I speak to a few, like,
have an anxiety attack at the same time.
You need to be careful. He could have been anybody. He could have pulled a knife out and all that. And it's just like, well, is that how? So no one can try and get, you know, just in case someone's got a bloody knife. It's just like, yeah, I'm not living my bloody life like that. I ain't doing it.
Hello. So yes, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Funny Mummies show for the Other Woman show on Soho Radio. And we was just chatting, or we are chatting. I'm Hattie Ashdown. I don't think I said that at the top. How unprofessional of me. With Kerry Howard and Gemma Beagley. We were just chatting about dating. Just slipped it in there. And Kerry was just, she was in there. She didn't care. She's just
right in.
I thought she was going to go all coy and like, I don't want to talk about dating, but no.
I just can't. The last date that I went on before I met my, before I got together with my husband, was a guy that I'd met on the comedy circuit, who I went out for him because he asked.
Yeah,
you know, that's where my.
Do I know this person, Gemma?
I don't think so. No. I can't remember his name, to be honest with you. But he didn't talk for the whole day. He didn't talk. So I'm just filling the gaps because I'm just because I'm a human, right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm just talking, blah blah blah. I'm talking and I'm asking questions, and he's kind of, I remember saying, so what sort of music are you into? Don't really like music.
Oh, no. Please don't talk.
Towards the end of the day. No, exactly. Towards the end of the day, he says, talk a lot, didn't you? I said, well, fucking hell, mate, I'm sorry. Like, you know, so no, that is what dating is for me. And now I'm nearly 40. And I've got, you know, I don't know how. And it's the idea of going online and having to market oneself. I just, like, it makes me want to rip my skin off.
Yeah. Gemma went on a single mum's holiday last year.
I did, yes, Kerry.
You was almost hoping there might be something interesting. Was you just thinking, make a friend?
I was thinking maybe there'd be like a hot young widow.
Yeah, I want a widow. I don't want someone left someone or cheated someone, or it's like you don't know who the bad person is.
No, a nice dead wife would be good, you know.
Yeah.
If the wife is dead, you know they're good.
Exactly.
Handsome.
I had a great holiday. I thought it was brilliant. I met some really great women there, and also they were women. Most of them were further along down the, you know, they'd been single mums for longer than I had been. So it was kind of a bit of a glimpse into the future. And they were just, you know, most of them were happy, independent women who just so happen to, you know, not, you know, get on with the husband, the father of their children. Yeah. And there were some women who had who were single parents from the start, so they'd adopted, you know, single parent adopters and stuff. One of them I particularly hit it off with, she was a single parent adopter, and what a fantastic life she's got. Most fantastic life.
I mean, I feel like jealous of someone who's just like, it's her. She's the parent. She doesn't have to worry about co-parenting or anyone else's personality. It's her child, and that's that. Yep. Huh. Mm.
her and her daughter have just got such a fab life. It's just, it's brilliant. It's
Of course, I mean, it's not all about meeting someone, but I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of a delicate way of saying.
I did a little bit of research, as is my want, Hattie, as you know, and I've tried to sort of pick out the positive stuff in terms of being a single parent. The first thing to say is that 90% of single parent families are women. It's the mum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's high, isn't it? That's high. But that it's about a positive sense of family rather than the fact that there's only one parent. It's family is a positive thing, and it's shown to be higher in the those who have experienced a single parent family. Kids have got a more positive sense of family than those who haven't. Oddly. Oh,
that's interesting.
And both of you don't come from single parents, do you?
No, my parents are still married, happily. But weirdly, you know, when I was married, you know, I'd see single parents and I would have that like inner like, well, they didn't try hard enough, or it's a,
Did you? Yeah,
I was really judgy. And then I crossed over to the other side and I thought, do you know what? Like, it's better to be happy single than to be unhappy in a relationship, because what you're teaching children is lies and compromise, where you shouldn't have to compromise. Like, you've only got one life. Like, again, Corona makes me think about that as well. It's like, oh my God, life's so short. And for people to stay together for the kids is an absolute myth. Like, if you've got that in your head, fucking leave. You shouldn't stay with someone because of the kids. You should stay with them because you fucking love them. Like, that is it. If there's no love there, go. Because that will infiltrate to those lovely little beautiful brains of your children. Yeah. And they will get that horrible loveless vibe.
Yeah. We won't say any more about that, but there's been lots of help. Right, welcome back to the Funny Mummies podcast, or you're listening live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. I'm Hattie Ashdown. I'm also with Kerry Howard and Gemma Beagley, two fabulous single mums. So we're going to sort of try and round things up. Let's talk about work a bit. So particularly with Kerry being a working actress. Yeah. And how has that, you know, been now you're a single mom, working actress. How has the industry treated you, as it were?
Really well. Like, it was bizarre. Like, when I needed to, like, not work, I didn't have a job. And so the universe, like, looked after me. And then when I needed money, I got this job. And it was, like, a cameo role for four weddings and a funeral. And
A remake.
I was booked just to be her best friend. Weirdly, when I left my ex, I DM'd Dawn French, who follows me. And that's, like, a massive, like, Dawn French follows me so I can send her messages. And I sent her a message because I knew she had divorced and she's a famous actress. And I just thought, and she's like miles, like so far on. But I thought, you're my beacon of hope. Can you give me any like sunshine? Because I don't know what to do. Like, that's how desperate you have to be that you think you can talk to Dawn French.
Wow. No,
I know. You've got power. It wasn't desperate. You were using your power.
But she actually messaged me. And she just said, she quoted her mum, she said, the only way over it is to go through it. But I really believe in manifesting, and everything, every job that I've got, I've manifested it. Like, and it's so weird. So when I really want something and I think about it and I ask for it from the universe, because I'm a wanker, it actually does work. It actually happens. I think hard work and all of that, and then
I was going to say, I think about a lot of hard work.
It's been the best paid job, again, I needed the money, and it was like over 3 months, and I was only like needed 2 days here and 2 days there. So the jobs were amazing the last 2 years. They've literally, and then I did a job with Kudos, who I didn't have childcare one day with my toddler, and they gave me a chaperone. For a week.
Wow, that's what I was going to ask about.
I could bring my toddler to set like that, like, and they paid for it all, and it was, you know,
Do you think it's just companies then, a particular production companies, Kerry, or do you think it is just getting better? Because I know it didn't always used to be like that.
No, I think it's certain companies, like Objective were amazing when I was filming, and Callum was only 8 weeks. Well, obviously I had to have him on set because I was still breastfeeding. So they gave me a nanny. So it's like certain companies really will. And I think, like, also I'm at a level where they want me. So
yeah, of course, I was going to say, off
as an actor and you're a single mum, well, you're fucked.
I was going to say, unfortunately, yes, I think.
I know, I am aware of my privilege, but then I'm like, I'm not going to apologise for it, and I'm going to ask for help because I need help and I know you can give it to me. And I think people say and make those demands and say, no, this that grip person is a parent and a single parent, they need help. Like, we're all parents. Most people are parents in our industry and we all need help. And I think this lockdown has helped people realise that actually, like, you don't always have to be in a certain place. You can do a lot of your work from home.
Yeah.
And hopefully going forward, when we come out of lockdown, like, I won't have to go into London every time I do an audition, or I'd have to do voiceover. I can do it from home.
Yeah. We've got to wrap it up. So, Kerry, anything, any women you want to big up, and any work coming up that you want to big up, tell people to watch?
Oh yeah, 2 weeks to live.
2 weeks to live.
Yeah, that's a Sky show. I think it's coming out in September with Maisie Williams, who's amazing. And I'm like a little bit part in that. And I had a great wig.
Oh.
It's all about the wig.
It's all about the wig. Great. Yeah. Thank you. To have some great hair changes. Thank you so much for finally making it on. Let's hope I've recorded it all properly. Gemma, do you have anything you want to sign off on?
Yeah, just wondering, really, just for the non-single, well, not actually, and the single pair of mums that are listening, like, reach out to your single parent friends. Yeah. I had it's not a big deal, but I'll bring it up anyway. There was a Zoom call that was supposed to be booked between me and my circle of friends, and it was just, oh, sorry, I'm tired, I'm blah 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 blah, and it's getting canceled. It's just like, oh, it's all right for you. I haven't spoken to an adult for 3 days, you know, and stuff. So
that's such a good point.
Just during this time of isolation, guys, just remember, some of us don't have other adults to speak to.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. And just anyone. I'm really quite disappointed when people cancel a Zoom. Because
you really find out who your friends are in lockdown.
Yeah, I put them in my diary and everything. It's like, you look forward to them. It's a bit of socialising. So, oh, that's a good note. I feel like we've ended on a kind of Oprah note, which I always like to end on. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kerry. Thank you, Gemma.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the Lunchtime Comedy Club, where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for The Other Woman Show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.